ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நம. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நம. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 3 பாதா 3 சர்வ வேதாந்த பிரத்யய அதிகரணம். சர்வ வேதாந்த பிரத்யயம் சோதனாத்ய விசேஷாத் பேதான்னேதி சேத் நைகஸ்யாமபி ஸ்வாத்யாயஸ்ய ததாத்வே நஹி சமாச்சாரே அதிகாரஸ்ச சவவச்ச தன்னியமஹ தர்ஷயதி ச. உபசம்ஹாராதிகரணம். உபசம்ஹாரஹ அர்த்தா பேதாத் விதிசேஷவத் சமானே ச. அன்யதாத்வதிகரணம். அன்யதாத்வம் சப்தாதிதி சேத் ந அவிசேஷாத் ந வா பிரகரண பேதாத் பரோவரியஸ்த்வாவதிவத் சம்யாதஸ்சேத் ததுக்தம் அஸ்திது ததபி. வியாப்தியதிகரணம். வியாப்தேஸ்ச சமஞ்சசம். சர்வாபேதாதிகரணம். சர்வாபேதாத் அன்யத்ரேமே. ஆனந்தாத்யதிகரணம். ஆனந்தாதயஹ பிரதானஸ்ய பிரியசிரஸ்துவாதி அப்ராப்திஹி உபச்ச உபச்சய அபச்சயௌ ஹி பேதே இதரேது அர்த்தசாமான்யாத். ஆத்யானாதிகரணம். ஆத்யானாய பிரயோஜனாபாவாத் ஆத்மசப்தச்ச. ஆத்மகிரஹீத்யதிகரணம். ஆத்மகிரஹீதிஹி இதரவத் உத்தராத் அன்வயாதிதி சேத் ஸ்யாத் அவதாரணாத். காரியாக்கியானாதிகரணம். காரியாக்கியானாத் அபூர்வம் சமானாதிகரணம். சமானம் ஏவஞ்ச அபேதாத். சம்பந்தாதிகரணம். சம்பந்தாதேவம் அந்யத்ராபி நவாவிசேஷாத். தர்ஷயதி ச. சம்ப்ருத்யதிகரணம். சம்ப்ருதிஹி த்யூ வ்யாப்திஹி அபிச அதஹ. புருஷவித்யதிகரணம். புருஷவித்யாயாமிவ சேத் இதரேஷாம் அநாம்நானாத். வேதாத்யதிகரணம். வேதாதி அர்த்தபேதாத். ஹான்யதிகரணம். ஹானௌது உபாயன சப்தசேஷத்வாத் குஷச்சந்தஸ்மிருதி ஸ்ருதி உபகான உபகானவத் ததுக்தம். சாம்பராய அதிகரணம். சாம்பராயே தத் தர்த்த வியாபாவாத் ததாஹ்யன்யே சந்தத உபய அவிரோதாத். கதேஹே அர்த்தவத்வாதிகரணம். கதேஹே அர்த்தவத்வம் உபயதா அன்யதாஹி விரோதஹ. உபபன்ன உபபன்னஸ் தல்லக்ஷணர்த்தஹ உபலப்தே லோகவத். அநியமாதிகரணம். அநியமஹா சர்வாசாம் அவிரோதஹாம் சப்தானுமானாப்யாம். This is the 31st Sutra, 3rd Pada, 3rd Chapter, 390th Running Brahma Sutra. So we have completed the general analysis of this Sutra, Sutra number 31 of the 18th Adhikaranam, Aniyamadhikaranam, in the last class. And here the analysis is on the Shukla Gati, which is to be taken by the Upasakas. And Shukla Gati is mentioned in the case of several Upasanas, whereas in some other Upasanas, Shukla Gati is not explicitly mentioned. And we saw the example also from Chandogya Upanishad in the Panchagni Vidya, Shukla Gati is mentioned. Chandogya Upanishad in the 3rd chapter, 14th section, Sandilya Vidya is mentioned, where Shukla Gati is not mentioned. So in Panchagni Vidya mentions Shukla Gati, Sandilya Vidya does not mention Shukla Gati, both from Chandogya. Therefore, naturally, the doubt will be whether Shukla Gati can be applied to Sandilya Vidya also, or is there a Niyama? Niyama means the restriction. That is a question here. And Vyasacharya, he gives the answer. And he says, Aniyamaha. There is no restriction. All Upasakas will travel by Shukla Gati. whether all upasakas will get krama mukti or not, that's a different question that we will discuss later. But all upasakas will travel by Shukla Gati. They go through Shukla Gati, they will go to Brahma Loka also. But will all those people get krama mukti or not is a question, because krama mukti is mentioned, but return from Brahma Loka is also mentioned in the Shastras. Particularly if you see Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter, the Lord says, Abrahma Bhuvana Lokaha Punaravartino Arjuna Mamu Pechyutu Kaunteya Punarjanmana Vidyate. 8th chapter. Therefore, all the Shukla Gati people, they will go to Brahma Loka, but will all of them gain liberation, that is Krama Mukti or not, that is to be discussed. And we will have an Adhikaranam in Brahma Sutra itself later, where it will be shown that some of them, even after going to Brahma Loka, will return and be reborn. Naturally, the question will be, who are those people who will go through Shukla Gati and still return back from Brahma Loka? And who will not return? And there is an Adhikaranam in the 4th chapter, 3rd pada, the 6th Adhikaranam, that is called Apratika Alambana Adhikaranam. That is the 4th chapter. We are going to see it later. The 3rd pada, 4th chapter, the 6th Adhikaranam, Apratika Alambana Adhikaranam. The analysis of that we will see at that Adhikaranam. Therefore, here the question is what? Whether all upasakas will get krama mukti or not is not the question. You should be careful. Question is not whether upasakas will get krama mukti or not, but will all the upasakas go by Shukla Gati or not is the question. Therefore, Shukla Gati travel alone is the issue, and that too with respect to upasakas. So we should clearly know what is the discussion. So karmis are not discussed here at all, because for them, they get Krishna Gati, no Shukla Gati for karmis, kevala karmis. And jnanis are not discussed here also, because for them, agati. There is no Shukla Gati or Krishna Gati for them, for the jnani. We are only discussing the intermediary upasakas with respect to Shukla Gati. Who gets Krama Mukti is not the discussion. And Vyasacharya's conclusion is what? All upasakas will take Shukla Gati and go to Brahma Loka. Entry is there. Then the question is, how come it is not mentioned in the context of all upasanas? Because in Sandilya Vidya, Shukla Gati is not mentioned. How are we to understand that those upasakas who practice Sandilya Vidya also will go to Shukla Gati? For that only, Vyasacharya gives Shabda Anumanabhyam. If you read the sutra, it says Shabda Anumanabhyam. Shabda refers to Shruti Pramanam, Veda Pramanam, and Anumana refers to Smriti Pramanam. We already gave Shruti Pramanam and Smriti Pramanam in the last class. Shruti Pramana is from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, 6th chapter, 2nd section, 15th mantra. And Smriti Pramanam is from Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, 24th shloka. And in these two pramanams, what is said is, all the upasakas in general. That is the uniqueness of this Pramana Vakya. It does not specifically refer to Panchagni Vidya, Sandilya Vidya, or Paryanga Vidya, any of those. All those are all mentioned in the Upanishad. It says, Ye Chami Aranye Shraddha Satyam Upasate. The commentator says, the word Satyam here refers to Sagunam Brahma. Whoever practices Saguna Brahma Upasana in the Aranyam. Aranyam means this refers to the Vanaprastha Ashrama in the forest. Because generally Vanaprastha Ashrama is Upasana Pradhana. Because Upasana is only mostly done in the Vanaprastha Ashrama, Upasana. Tapaha Shraddehi Upavasati Aranye Shanta Vidvamsaha Vaikshacharyam Charantaha. Generally, Grahastashrama is for karma, various karma. Vanaprasthashrama is for upasana. Sannyasashrama is for jnana. And therefore, Ye Chami Aranye Shraddha Satyam Upasate. And in Bhagavad Gita also, Agnir Jyotiraha Shuklaha Shanmasa Uttarayanam Tatra Prayatha Gacchanti Brahma Brahma Vidojanaha. So Brahmavido Janaha, Saguna Brahma Upasakaha Janaha. Thus both these Pramanas prove that all Upasakas go through Shukla Gati. This is the general analysis which we saw in the last class. Now let us go through the word analysis. The sutra is what? Aniyamaha Sarvasam Avirodaha Shabda Anumanabhya. That is the sutra. So Aniyamaha, the first word. Here Aniyamaha means is common. There is no restriction, it is common. But we have to supply Shuklagati. Shuklagati is common. That is what is implied here. Sarvasam for all Upasakas. Avirodaha. This is in agreement. Shabda Anumanabhyam with the statement of Shruti Shabda and Anumana Smriti. Now let us see the significance of these words. Aniyamaha. Aniyamaha means unrestricted, free for all, common to all Upasakas. Sarvasam refers to Upasananam or Vidyana. This is the common route with respect to all the Upasanas. Of course, it is extended to as common to all Upasakas. All Upasanas to all Upasakas. But the sutra does not refer to the Upasaka, but only to Upasana. Because Sarvasam, and that also we have to derive how it is done. Sarvasam is Trilinga, feminine gender. Therefore, it should refer to Vidyana, Vidya, feminine, being Strilinga also. Therefore, Sarvasam Vidyana, Shuklagatihi, Samana Palam Bhavati. That is how it should be interpreted. And Avirodaha. Virodaha means contradiction or disagreement. And Avirodaha, that means is in agreement or non-disagreement, we can say. Virodha, disagreement. Avirodha, non-disagreement. Agreement, that means. And what agreement? Universal Shukla Gati is in agreement with what? Shabda Anumanabhya. Again, this is also Tritiya Vibhakti Vivachanam again, because the word agreement governs the third case. Just as, for example, in English, we use the expression agree with. In Sanskrit, also with is third case again. It is Saha Tritiya, we call it. Shabda Anumanabhyam Saha Avirodaha. And as we said, Shabda refers to Shruti Pramanam. And there is an incidental point also here. That is in the tradition, when Shabda means words. When they are said to be the source of knowledge, when words are said to be the source of knowledge, that is Vedas, said to be source of knowledge, then it refers to only Shruti. When we say Shabda refers to source of knowledge, Shabda means Shruti only. It will never refer to any local books like physics books or chemistry books or newspapers or any of those. Because even though they are all words, Shabda I said are words, even though they are also words in all these books and newspapers, etc., they are not considered to be the producers of knowledge. Physics book is not supposed to be the producer of knowledge. Why? Because even before the book, physics book was written, the knowledge has been produced to the authors through Pratyaksha Pramana. Before newspaper came, newspaper knowledge was there already for the journalist. He printed it later. Therefore, for the author, what is the source of knowledge? Not the newspaper, because they have written it. They themselves have written it. Therefore, already the author of a book gained knowledge by other means. It is the law of gravitation. For example, if you take it, for us, the physics book seem to be giving that knowledge. Really speaking, the physics book does not produce the knowledge, because the gravitational law for Newton was not produced by any book, but it was through anumanam, reasoning. So since already the knowledge is generated in the scientist, the book is not considered to be a producer of knowledge, but only carrier of knowledge of the scientist. I am the carrier, for example, of whatever thing I have in hand, and not a producer of that. No book is a producer of knowledge, because knowledge has been already produced in the author without the book. He wrote the book later. Therefore, carrier of knowledge, namely the book, is not called Pramanam, but it is Anuvadaka Vakyani. However, Veda is the only book that produces knowledge, and the knowledge derived from Veda cannot be gained through any other pramanam, pratyaksha, anumana, none of those things can produce that knowledge. Only Veda alone produces knowledge. The word Shabda Pramana refers only to Veda. And then the question is, what about Bhagavan himself? Even for Bhagavan, we cannot say Veda produces knowledge because Bhagavan is the producer of Veda itself. No one produces knowledge for Bhagavan. He does not require the production of knowledge also. Then does it mean that Lord is eternally ignorant? No. He is eternally omniscient. Omniscience means a locus where knowledge need not be produced. The knowledge gained through Veda is said to be through Shabda or Shruti Pramanam. The Laukika Shabdas are not Pramanas, but they are all Anuvada Vakyas only. This is purely an aside point, just only to emphasize the fact that Veda is the only real source of knowledge. And what is relevant in the Shastra is Shabda. Shabda refers to Vaidika Shabda, the Veda Shabda only. That is Shruti Pramana. And then the next word is Anumanam or Smriti Pramanam. It is called Anumanam because Anumanam is not an independent Pramana, but it is a derivative Pramana. It is derived from Pratyaksha Pramanam. Through Pratyaksha, we get Anumanam. For example, through fire, I infer smoke data. So for that, I require Pratyaksham. I should see the smoke to infer there is fire. Then I infer fire. Therefore, Anumanam is not Swatantram. It depends upon Pratyaksham. Similarly, Smriti is also not Swatantram, but it is Paratantram. Not Swatantram, but Paratantram. They are dependent. Since dependence is common to both Smriti and Anumanam, one word is used for the other. Whether you say Smriti or Anumanam, because they both have this dependence as a commonality, we use one word for the other. Therefore, in this sutra, Anumanam refers to Smriti only. Anumanam refers to Paratantra Smriti Prama. With this adhikaranam is also over. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. Next adhikaranam is the 19th adhikaranam, 19th topic. Yavad adhikara adhikaranam. That is the name of the adhikaranam. Yavad adhikara adhikaranam. Yavad adhikaram avasthitihi adhikarikanam. That is a sutra. Yavad adhikaram avasthitihi adhikarikanam. 32nd sutra, third pada, third chapter, 391st running Brahma Sutra. First, let us give the general introduction to this 19th adhikaranam with one sutra. Here, a special topic is dealt with based on a special doubt also. Normally, it is said that the karmis will go through Krishna Gati, upasakas will go through Shukla Gati, and jnani has no gati at all. For jnani, his prana at the time of death merges into samashti, the total, and does not go anywhere after death. Prana. Sukshma shariram of jnani does not travel, and it does not take another sukshma shariram as there is no rebirth for jnani. And jnani does not require agami karma. He does not have an ego problem. He does not have aham abhimana, that is ego and all. And therefore, agami is avoided for a jnani. Prarabdha karma is exhausted in this birth. And sanchita karma is burnt by knowledge, jnana. These are all facts we have to just understand. And in the case of ajnani, sanchita karma is very much remaining. And from that alone, the next prarabdha is carved. Prarabdha is present sanchita. Prarabdha karma of this particular janma for him is the present sanchita carved. So in the case of jnani, the whole sanchita is burnt down. As there is no prarabdha, no shariram can be taken up. Based on this general observation, these are all general facts. Actually, Swamiji once mentioned about Ramana Maharishi also. The Shastras, they agree with certain celestial phenomena, either arrival of Mahatmas or departure of Mahatmas and all. The Shastra accepts all that. The light going out at the time of death, because people normally say there's a light going out, blue light, white light, or all that. At the time of death, we do not say it is not possible. We don't say it is possible and all. We should not only connect that light to the three Shariram or the Atma. That's all we are trying to say. At the time of death, if there's some light is seen and all, we are not disputing all any of those things. We are not saying it's not possible at all. But what all we are trying to say is, do not connect that light to the three Shariram, like the Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram, Stura Shariram, or the Atma itself. that light is not sukshma shariram. It is neither stula shariram, nor sukshma shariram, nor karana shariram, nor atma also, which is all pervading. So we do not negate the light, but we object to anything in association with the three forms of sharira. Because the jnanis do not travel. Here the Purvapakshi says that we have shastric references of jnanis taking rebirth. Purvapakshi is also not an ordinary guy. He is an informed guy. He says there are references of jnanis taking rebirth. How is that possible if what is said above is taken to be true? Either it should be that jnanis will have gati, because we say jnanis agati, that's what we said. But if that is, if they are taking rebirth, that means jnanis also have gati, or you have to say that the Shastra Vakyam is wrong. And Shankaracharya actually quotes a few examples from Chandogya Upanishad, where it is said that Sanat Kumara Rishi, he alone appeared in the form of Skandaha later. Sanat Kumara Rishi, he alone appeared in the form of Skanda. Tam Skandaha Agachate. That is what the Upanishad says. Tam Skandaha Agachate. So this should not have happened according to the Shastra. As if Sanat Kumara is a jnani according to Shastram, which also we cannot deny. Because Sanat Kumara, who is Sanat Kumara? He is Brahmaji's Manasaputra. The second case is, the other example, is the third chapter, first line of Taittiriya Upanishad. And here it is said, Bhrigu Maharishi is Varuna Putraha, the son of Varuna. Bhrigur Vaiva Runihi Varunam Pitaramupasasara Adhihi Bhagavo Brahmeti. So we know Bhrigu was one of the Sapta Rishis, Atri, Bhrigu, Kutsa, Vasishta, Gautama, Kashyapa, Angirasa. So all these seven Rishis, one of them is Bhrigu. He was born out of Brahmaji's mind, Manasaputra Brahmaji. And that Bhrigu, Manasaputra alone, dropped his body during Daksha Yajna. And the first one is Brahmaji's Putra, that Bhrigu. And he was reborn later as Varuna Putra, according to Taittiriya. So how did the Jnani Guru, the Manasaputra Brahmaji, was born again as Varuna Putra is the question. And Vyasacharya himself is a reappearance. This I have mentioned earlier. Reappearance of another Rishi according to Shastra. I told this earlier to you in some other context. The name of the Rishi is called Apantarathama. And that Rishi is, that means what? That Rishi for whom the inner darkness is apagatam. It's gone away. There is no inner darkness at all for him. No avidya. He's a jnani. Then how that Rishi again became Vyasa Rishi? So in all these cases, jnani takes the new body. Hence, jnani will travel or jnanam does not give moksha. One of these things should be true. Either we should accept the fact that jnani also after death, sukshma shariram travels and all that thing, or jnanam does not give moksha, means no rebirth. Should not give any more rebirth. But he is born again. So in the case of certain special jnanis, especially in the category of jnanis who are in the Rishi category, who are Rishis, there are some speciality and they can take new body, which is similar to the Lord taking an avatara. So some speciality and those jnanis, they can take a new body similar to an avatara. We do not call it an avatara though. They are jivatma jnanis only, in assuming special shariram, which is similar to the Lord taking to new avatar. It is only for similarity and for comparison. As an example, we say they are called adhikarika purushaha. That is what in this sutra it is said. They are endowed with special powers to take to new body. And in their case, what happens? Even after being a jnani, they can take to a new shariram, which is of totally different new dimension. Now let us see, these are all information that is given, we've seen behind this sutra. We have to analyze all of them. So this is the general analysis, the context of this adhikarana. And the new sharira grahanam, that is possible for such jnanis. But it will not come under punarjanma at all. We have to be very careful. It is not a rebirth, but they can take another shariram, but it is not rebirth. This is the idea that is conveyed in this sutra. And in the case of the special jnani of such category, jnanam would have destroyed the sanchita karmas, and certainly agami karmas will not be there for such jnanis. Their prarabdha karma is of a peculiar character, different from ordinary jnani. What are the differences of prarabdha karma of ordinary jnani and the special jnani of the above variety? Because these special jnanis, they are taking other bodies. That's what we are telling. Shankaracharya says that the adhikarika purushas, the special jnanis, have certain extra duties for lokasangraha. That are duties for lokasangraha. In the case of ordinary jnanis, they do not come to society. They remain in forest and experience sukham, dukkham and all that, all those anubhavas, and get liberation. Whereas the special jnanis, they get involved with improvement of society. And some of them they can do with a particular body, and some of them they can fulfill by taking another body. Because of the special duties, they take with special prarabdha, give up one body and take another body. They have the powers to do that. We cannot rationalize that. They have the powers to do that. Shastra says that. And the next question is, what is the difference between the special jnani or vishesha jnani taking a new body and an ajnani taking a new body? Vishesha jnani, we say that he is taking a new body, and an ajnani also after birth, after death he takes another body. What is the difference between the vishesha jnani taking a new body and an ajnani jiva taking a new body? And the difference is, an ajnani jiva, he takes a new body from where? From the sanchita karma. Because after this prarabdha is exhausted in this janma, he has to take another birth based on another prarabdha carved out of his own sanchita karma bundle. And he has no jnanam at all. He has got only the anatma, avidya only he has. He has no jnanam. So one part of sanchita karma becomes prarabdha, and it is sanchita based new body for this ordinary jiva. For ordinary people like us, one part of sanchita karma only, that is from that it is called the prasanna prarabdha, and it is sanchita based new body with all the ajnana. But in the case of a vishesha jnani, special jnani, there is no sanchita at all, because he's already a jnani. Sanchita is burned. And it is the vishesha prarabdha that enables to drop one prarabdha and take new prarabdha to take new body. It is in their control. They can do that. How they can do it, we cannot ask. That's what it is said in the shastras. So vishesha prarabdha that enables them to drop one prarabdha and take new prarabdha to take to a new body. And the special jnani's rebirth is previous prarabdha based body only. And the ajnani's body is previous sanchita based. So for the prarabdha, the special jnani's rebirth is based on previous prarabdha based body only he takes, whereas ajnani's body is previous sanchita based. There is another difference also. When an ajnani takes to new body, ajnani continues to be ajnani. He is ignorant only in the new body also. By just taking a new body, he doesn't become a jnani. It is previous sanchita based body only with all the vidya in it. But the vishesha jnani's new body is the extension of the previous prarabdha at his will, and in the new body the jnanam continues, because he was a jnani prior. The prarabdha got extended by his will, and the new body he assumed, jnanam continues. He continues to be a jnani with the new body also. And being a jnani, they do not bother about taking any number of bodies. Yeah, they have nothing to achieve the body. It's only for using it to do lokasangraha. So being a jnani, they do not bother about taking any number of bodies also. And they may even take several bodies at the same time, simultaneously. There are references in the Vedas for such people. They may even take several bodies at the same time simultaneously. And recently we want to note that also, not all those who take, who can take different body may be jnani also. Because ajnanis take rebirth, different bodies, they are not jnanis. Not all the people taking various bodies need to be jnanis. And then can we take the above jnani taking a new birth be taken as an avatara? Yeah, that is what we alluded to in the beginning. If you ask, we can say it is similar to avatara, but not the same as avatara. You will easily guess the reason. It is similar to avatara, but it is not the same as avatara. It is similar to avatara because the body is taken purely for loka sangraha. And jnanam will be there right from the birth. Because he was a jnani. The dissimilarity is what? They come under jivatma category. And they cannot be called Ishvara or Paramatma. If you want to call them as an avatara, all avatara purushas, they are all Ishvara only or Paramatma only. Whereas in this case, they are coming under jivatma category only. The body in the case of a Vishesha Jnani is made of Vishesha Prarabdha. That is an extended Prarabdham by themselves. The body in the case of Vishesha Jnani is made of Vishesha Prarabdham. Whereas in the case of Bhagavan, the Lord, the Avataram, there is no Sanchita Prarabdha at all. But it is Sankalpa Matrena, the body is taken. So Kamayata Bahusyam Praja Yegeti. Sankalpa Matrena. The Parabrahman just decided to become many. That's it. And many of the rishis like Vasishta, Bhrigu and all of them, they all come under this category. Adhikarika Purushas will continue to take new bodies for Loka Sangraha. Because this particular sutra has this word Adhikarika Purusham. I wanted to explain that term to you in some detail. The ups and downs in life, they will not bind the special jnani, the Vishesha jnani, it won't bind them. Vishesha Jivan Mukta has to sustain several shariams, while the Samanya Jivan Mukta will sustain only one shariram. Because Samanya Jivan Mukta, for example, if a person gets Jivan Mukti in this Janma itself, there is no need for him to take another shariram. Whereas the Vishesha Jivan Mukta, because he extended his prarabdha, he sustains several shariams he can. Actually, we have to discuss some general points also with regard to Jivan Mukti. Yeah, there are confusions in all these things for several people. So I thought I would just touch upon some of them. How can we identify the Vishesha Jivan Mukta? We have put an adjective already to Jivan Mukta. Vishesha Jivan Mukta, we are calling a special Jivan Mukta. This question itself is irrelevant if you really think about it. Because you cannot identify even a Samanya Jivan Mukta. That is the question of identifying Vishesha Jivan Mukta. Shastras alone, this is a pramanam for Vishesha Jivan Mukta. And Vyasacharya and Sanat Kumara, they are all these rishis, they all come under the Vishesha Jivan Mukta category as per Shastras. They are in the form of rishis and devatas also. And such rishis have duties to reveal Vedas in the new Srishti. That is the duty. Lord has enabled them with that duty of revealing the Vedas in the new Srishti. And we have also devatas doing Loka Sangraha also. So Adhikarika Purushas are in the form of rishis and devatas. And for this, Shastra only is the Pramanam as I mentioned. They are possible in modern times also. Who is an, because modern times also such people can come. Who is an avatara and who is an adhikarika purusha and how to identify them? Many people claim to be an avatara also. All those people, you know, we hear a lot of those things. Oh, he is so and so avatara and all that. Even if they don't claim, the shishyas will not leave them. They will claim for them. So all spiritual sects, they claim that their guru to be an adhikarika purusha. The only thing we have is to probe the biography of such avatara purushas also. We have no regular pramanam, but it is only a belief. For a believer, no proof is required. And for a non-believer, no proof is sufficient. Believer, no proof is required. Non-believer, no proof is sufficient. Therefore, adhikarika purusha is possible, but we have no proof. Only Proof is what? Shastra says. And the tradition accepts the Shastra alone as Pramanam. And any Samanya Guru can give us the knowledge. This is another corollary. Any Samanya Guru can give us knowledge. Who determines or who should become Vishesha Jivan Mukta and Samanya Jivan Mukta? Who determines that? Bhagavan alone decides. Adhikarika Purusha, according to the Prarabdha of the Jiva. According to the Prarabdha of the Jiva, the Lord decides. And the next corollary is, there's another point also we need to understand. If somebody asks that I want to become a Jivan Mukta, person says, I want to become a Jivan Mukta. For Jivan Mukta, there is no Punarjanma for such people. So I want to become a Jivan Mukta. It's a good desire. So if someone wants to continue to be a Jivan Mukta, so that I will be Jivan Mukta, and again I will come again and again and impart the knowledge or serve the universe. Some people might want to think like that. Now, question is, how to become a Jivan Mukta? So this person is, he wants to become a Jivan Mukta, but he wants to come again and again to want to impart knowledge and all that. So struggling to become a Vishesha Jivan Mukta itself is a contradiction. If you really look into that, struggling to become a Vishesha Jivan Mukta itself is a contradiction. If you say, I want to become a Jivan Mukta, then I will ask you, which part of this Jivan Mukta attracts you? That will be a question. Whether the Vishesha adjective part or the Mukti part. Jivan Mukta, Vishesha Jivan Mukta. So the Vishesha adjective attracts you or the Jivan Mukta Mukti part attracts you. Vishesha Jivan Mukta means superiority or the greatness. And superiority and greatness and all those things belong to what? Atma or Anatma? Can we say Atma of Vishesha Jivan Mukta is superior to Samanya Jivan Mukta? For this, there is no difference. That is stated. So if you are interested in Mukti, Mukti part of it, Mukti is dependent on the glory of Atma only. Mukti requires Atma Abhimana and Vishesha requires Anatma Abhimana. Mukti requires Atma Abhimana only. Vishesha Mukti requires Anatma Abhimana only. One presupposes negation of the other. Moksha means what? You should turn towards Atma only. And when you think of superiority and all that thing, it is all Anatma Abhimana. No Samanya Jiva can ever have the desire for Vishesha Jivan Mukti at all. No Samanya Jiva can ever have the desire for Vishesha Jivan Mukti. And then the next question will be, how can Jivan Mukta becomes Vishesha Jivan Mukta? How did they become Vishesha Jivan Muktas at all? A Samanya Jiva never works for Vishesha Jivan Mukti. Samanya Jiva, even before getting the desire for Mukti, he may get a desire to become a Vishesha Jivan Mukta. This desire is possible. Even before he gets the desire for Mukti itself, liberation, total liberation, he may get a desire to become a Vishesha Jivan Mukta. This desire is possible. The desires of all the samsari is from Samanya Jiva, I want to become a Vishesha Jiva. Every Samanya Jiva, samsari Jiva, they can have the desire that they want to become a Vishesha Jiva. And this has an advantage also. All our struggles, they are all only because to become a Vishesha Jiva, and in Shastra, Vishesha Jiva extends even up to rishis and devatas also. That status, we have told many times, devatas are only exalted jivas. It is not Jivan Mukti variety. They are still exalted jivas only. Yamadharmaraja himself, he discloses this information to Nachiketas in Kathopanishad. Yamadharmaraja says, he himself wanted to become liberated, but decided to become a Vishesha Jiva and then became Yamadeva. He wanted to become a Vishesha Jiva and became Yamadeva. So after becoming Vishesha Jiva, he got Vairagyam and all to the status itself. I discovered Vishesha Jiva means Vishesha Samsara only. Yamadharmaraja says, Vishesha Jiva means Vishesha Samsara only. In fact, you cannot lead an ordinary life if you become a popular person and Vishesha Jiva. Very difficult. You cannot even do things which you want at your own will and pleasure. You are bound by so many things. Always somebody or other is with you in the form of attendance to you or whatever it is. Sometimes you may even want to run away from all of them. And a Samanya Jiva wants to become a Vishesha Jiva without knowing that Vishesha Jiva status also is Vishesha Samsara only. So Samanya Jiva generally, well, that's why I mentioned the example of Yamadharma Raja. He also wanted to become Vishesha Jiva without knowing that Vishesha Jiva status also is Vishesha Samsara only. And they get Vairagyam then, and then work to become Vishesha Jiva. They get Jnanam. And when the Vishesha Jiva works for Mukti, his achievement is Vishesha Jivan Mukti. When such Mukti comes to them, they are not interested in such Vishesha Jivan Mukti also. That is the adjective for Jivan Mukti. In every Yuga, they may change the body, but they continue to be a Jivan Mukta. Such people, when they are really Jivan Muktas, in every Jiva. So this Vishesha is not with respect to Jivan Mukti. It is only with respect to their ability to take different bodies. But they continue to be Jivan Muktas only. You cannot work for Vishesha Jivan Mukta, but you can become a Vishesha Jiva and then work for Jivan Mukta status. This is how we should know. So a Vishesha Jiva, becoming a Jivan Mukta, we call it as Vishesha Jivan Mukta. And thereafter you become a Vishesha Jivan Mukta. Then there is the last question also we have to understand. If one says, I will become a Vishesha Jiva and then work for Vishesha Jivan Mukti. So to become a Vishesha Jiva, you have to become what? Vishesha Anatma. And that is dealt with in the Karma and the Upasana Kandas of the Vedas. And meditate upon the relevant object. So through such meditation, tapas and all, one can perhaps elevate oneself to become a Vishesha Jiva. And Vedanta strongly criticizes all the anatma, samanya or vishesha anatma, samanya anatma or vishesha anatma. Vedanta strongly criticizes all anatmas. Upanishad will not glorify vishesha jiva, and Vedanta criticizes even devatas and Indra, who are nothing but who belong to the category of vishesha jiva only. Jivan mukti alone is emphasized. By becoming a Vishesha Jiva and then become Vishesha Jivan Mukta. One should not prefer to become a Vishesha Jiva and Vishesha Jivan Mukta. One has to only aspire for Jivan Mukti without any adjective. But the ability to have all those things, they will come for people depending on their Prarabdha Karma to work for the society, for Loka Sangraha. They can take different bodies. That power is with them. Lord has given them that responsibility and also the power to assume several bodies. Yavad adhikaram avasthitihi adhikarikana. That is the sutra. Avasthitihi. Avasthitihi refers to embodies existence. Avastha. Adhikarikana refers to the jivas with special duties, whom I call as Vishesha Jivan Muktas here for the sake of our discussion only. So yavad adhikaram means extends up to the end of the duty, up to that. Whatever is the responsibility is there, up to that will extend. Even though prarabdha may end with one body, but this duty continues and they can assume other bodies. Now I'll give you the significance of these words. Avasthiti means continuation of embodied existence in a particular body. In each existence, jnanam and the memory, they all continue though. And adhikarikana means they refers to the special category of the Jivan Muktas. We call it Vishesha Jivan Mukta and all that. Who can take many bodies simultaneously or later, all that. Yavad adhikaram, until the special duty allotted by Lord is exhausted. So till the duty allotted by the Lord is exhausted, they can take different bodies to accomplish that objective. The Lord will require someone for doing such a job in every srishti. And now the last point before we conclude this adhikaranam is, why should this topic be discussed in this third pada at all, of third dhyaya? This discussion here comes because we did talk about krama mukti and sadhya mukti, and we said that upasakas will get the gati, sukla gati, to travel, and jnani will get liberation without travel. We mentioned all that. And we talked about two types of muktis also, Krama Mukti and Jivan Mukti, and two types of margas also, Shukla Gati and Krishna Gati and all that. And Vyasacharya talks here the unique exception of the unique jnanis who take to another body in the next janma. Even though a jnani doesn't have another janma, but here he talks about the uniqueness of such jnanis. And that is why this topic is brought here. With this 20th adhikaranam and the 32nd sutra of third pada is also over. Now let us have some minutes. Let us go to the next adhikaranam. 20th adhikaranam, top 20th topic, aksharadhyadhikaranam. So aksharadhyam tvavarodaham samanya tadbhavabhyam aupasadavat taduktam. Long sutra. Aksharadhyam tvavarodaham samanya tadbhavabhyam aupasadavat taduktam. 33rd sutra, third pada, third chapter, 3.3.33, 392 second Brahma Sutra. And this has been explained actually by Jaimini in the Purva Mimamsa Sutras, Jaimini Sutras. So the negative attributes of the imperishable are now examined as the positive attributes were examined in Sutra 11 of this section earlier. We have already seen that. First, let us give the general introduction to this adhikaranam with only one sutra. Here the topic is the Nisheda Vakyani, the negation, all those sentences referring to negation occurring in several places regarding Brahman, and combining all of them as one Brahma Vidya only. That is the question here. Can the features contained in one sentence of one Upanishad, whatever it is, or same Upanishad, be combined in another place? That is the discussion. And for these two examples are taken, two examples of Nisheda Vakyas are taken, negating Vakyas. Nisheda Vakyam is the statement revealing Brahman through negation of attributes or negation of anatma, neti, neti, we have seen all those. The first one is from the Mundaka Upanishad, first Mundakam, first chapter, first section, sixth mantra, that says, yattadadreshyam agrahyam agotram avarnam achakshushrotram tadapanipadam nityam vibhum sarvagatam susukshmam tadavyayam yadbhutayonim paripashyanti dhiraha. This mantra we have read many times earlier. So the Brahman has no attribute or perceptibility. It does not have the attributes of graspability also, agrahyam. It does not have any gotra, agotram. Does not have any color. It does not have chaturvarnam. All those things are not there. And apanipadam. So sharira nisheda, jnanendra nisheda, none of them are there. All those sharira, no bodies and no jnanendriyas, all that. And another famous mantra is also from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. The previous mantra is from Mundaka, another from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Saho vachaye tadvai tadakshara gargi brahmana abhivadanti astulam ananu akhraswam adhirgam alokitam asneham achayam atamaha avayu anakasham asangam achakshushkam ashrotram avak amanaha atejaskam apranam amukam amatram anantaram abahyam na tadashnadi kinchana na tadashnadi kaschana. These Nisheda Vakyas, they occur in the various Upanishads. And Siddhanta says that we can combine them because all of them come under one Brahman, Brahma Vidya only. And Vyasacharya says, one Brahman, that is the subject matter, that alone is only one. They uniformly reveal only one Brahma Padartha. The object of revelation and subject of discussion is only one Brahman. All of them use the same method to reveal Brahman. And the method is by negation. It is negation of all the attributes. Subject matter being the same, it comes under Upasamhara also. They can be all combined. Features of Brahman mentioned in different Vedas can be combined together. And in this adhikaranam, the word chosen is aksharam for Brahman. So Vyasacharya gives the reason in this sutra. And in all the contexts, Upanishad is using the same Nisheda method. Nisheda means negation. The negation method means negation of all other things other than Brahman. And Brahman will remain ultimate, unnegatable witness. Ultimate, unnegatable witness. And this is indirect method of arriving at the ultimate Brahma. Satyam Jnanam Anandam Brahma is a direct revelation. Whereas here, all these things are through negation. Brahman is mentioned in all the places as the object of revelation. So it can be taken as Eka Vidya is Brahma Vidya. Only one Vidya. Only one knowledge relevant. And Vyasacharya feels that he has to clarify it further. And he gives an example from Purva Mimamsa. Let us first see the Purva Mimamsa example. Aksharadhyam tvaraudaha samanya tadbhavabhyam aupasadavat tadukta. That is this sutra. Aupasadavat is the example. And the first item to understand this is the Jamadagni Yajna. There is a Yajna named after Jamadagni Rishi. It's a relatively bigger Yajna running to several days. This is performed by Jamadagni Rishi. And the next word to know is Upasat, Upasat Homa, that is mentioned here. So Upasat, Aupasatavad. So Upasat, Upasat Homa, a minor or secondary ritual that is prescribed as part of a bigger yaga. This Upasat Yajna. And the third word we should remember is Purodasa Pradana. Purodasa. Purodasa is a small preparation made of rice. Looks like maybe we can compare it with like a mini idli, South Indians. They make a grain preparation and take it on a clay vessel. And this preparation is called Purodasaha. And it is offered as an oblation in the Upasat Homa, which is a part of Jamadagni Yaga. So this offering is called Purodasa Pradhana. And the next word we should remember is Advaryu. Advaryu is the Yajurveda priest who employs the Yajurveda part in Yajur Yaga. I have already mentioned to you the four different priests. The Rigveda priest is called Hota. Yajurveda priest is called Advaryu. Samaveda priest is called Udghata. And Atharvaveda priest is called Brahma. And Advaryu, the Yajurveda priest alone, is entitled to offer the Purodasa Pradhana. He only can offer that Ahuti into the fire. And the Samaveda priest cannot offer Purodasa. If Veda asks you to do it, you do it. That's all. Which you do not do. The next point to be noted is, when this is done in Jamadagni Yaga, certain mantra is prescribed for chanting during the offering of the Purodasa Pradhana. And the mantra recited is called Aupasada Mantra. All these are all the sutra. Aupasada Mantra. So Vyasacharya refers to as Aupasada here. Now this Aupasada Mantra prescribed for the Upasat Homa is taken from which Veda? Samaveda. Not from Yajurveda. So the general rule is Samaveda mantras are to be chanted by Samaveda priest only. And therefore in the normal course, in all these yajnas, and in the normal course, it should be chanted by a Samaveda priest, Udgata. And a particular controversy arises. And what is that? This mantra is to be chanted at the time of Purodasa Pradhana, done by the Yajurveda priest. Advaryu is Yajurveda. He only offers the oblation. So Purodasa has to be offered to the flame, to the fire. And it is done by this Advaryu. So the question is whether this mantra is to be chanted by the Samaveda priest or Yajurveda priest. And the conclusion arrived here is it should be chanted by Yajurveda priest. So conclusion arrived means there should be an analysis why it should be concluded that way. We'll see that. Even though the mantra relates to Samaveda, it is allowed to be chanted by Yajurveda priest in this oblation, in this ritual. The application of a mantra has got a primary role. Even though every mantra has got an origin or source. Samaveda mantra, the source is Samaveda. But the application is something else, application of that mantra. Even the origination is associated with every mantra. The field application is more important factor as the application alone gives the phalam. Unless the Purodasa oblation is offered, the desired phalam cannot be got by doing that yajna. He calls Viniyoga is mukhya factor. Viniyoga is the application. That is the mukhya factor, important factor, and not Utpatti, namely source from which Veda it came. That is a Gauna factor. So the Samaveda priest should chant Utpatti factor wise. Because Utpatti factor is Samaveda, comes from Samaveda. So Samaveda priest only should recite if you analyze the mantra. And from Vinayoga point of view, application point of view, it should be chanted by the Yajurveda priest. So more than the source of Veda, the Utpatti, the source, look for the application factor in these applications. In the same way, even if it is an Atharvana Veda mantra, if it is to be recited, the application is for Brahman revelation. The same application, Atharvana Veda mantra, can jump from Mundaka Upanishad, because Mundaka Upanishad is an Atharvana Veda mantra. And it can jump from Mundaka and join Brihadaranyaka Upanishad of Yajurveda. And such a jump is permissible on the analogy of the above Purodasa mantra that we read in this Jaimini Sutta. So Yajurveda words can be brought to Mundaka Upanishad mantra also. So Veda jumps because application is permissible. Because that is the aim. This is the example part. Now Vyasacharya says, I need not explain this to all of you because Jaimini has explained the jump in detail in the Purva Mimamsa Sutra, the third chapter, third section, eighth sutra. That is what the sutra he said, that guna mukhya vyatikrame tadattvate mukhyena veda sanyoga. That is his sutra. I just gave the substance here, namely the application factor, the vinayoga, that is important, that takes precedence over the source, the utpatti. This is the sutra supporting that. And this is the general analysis of this particular sutra of Brahma Sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Aksharadhyam tvavarodaham samanya tadbhavabhyam aupasadavat tadukham. Avarodaham means the inclusion. Aksharadhyam, of all the negations in the context of the revelation of Nirgunam Brahman. Here Akshara refers to Nirgunam Brahman. Samanya tadbhavabhyam, because of the similarity of the method and the oneness of the subject matter. Because of that, they can be all negations, regardless of the relation. They are removed. And aupasadavate, like the mantras used in the upasat ritual, that yaga that we mentioned just now. Tad uktam, this has been said. Where? In the Purva Mimamsa Shastra. Now let us see the significance of the words. Aksharadhyam means Akshara refers to Nirguna Brahman. And in Mundaka Upanishad also the same word is used. Tatra para Rigvedo Yajurvedaha Samavedo Atharvavedaha Siksha Kalpa Kalpaha Vyakaranam Niruktam Chando Chandaham Jyotishamiti Atapara Tata Tadaksharam Adigamyate. First Mundaka, first section, fifth mantra. Yatoranabhi Sujate Grinatecha. So in that mantra also, Tataksharat Sambhavatiha Vishwam. So, and dhi refers to the knowledge, akshara dhiyam. So that dhi refers to knowledge derived from through the negation. So here we gain knowledge that Brahman is free from color, free from attributes and all that. Or by implication, it is a nishedha shabda, word which gives the negative knowledge. The negative words revealing Brahman are found in every Upanishad. All these negative words, we read all those mantras just now. All the mantras. And the word two stands for emphasis. And avarodaha, that means pooling or grouping together. Whatever words are missing in Brihadaranyaka Upanishad can be taken from other Upanishads. Samanya tadbhavabhyam, the similarity of the method. The method intended here is negation. Negation method of revealing Brahman. That is positive method of revealing also satyam, jnanam, anandam, all that I already mentioned. The positive method is called Vidimukha Pratipadanam, is the positive method of revealing. Tadbhavabhyam. Tadbhavabhyam means Brahma Bhavaha. Bhavaha means reference or presence. So in both the places, Brahman is present as the subject matter of revelation. Aupasadavate, as in the case of Aupasada mantra, jumping from one Veda priest to another Veda priest. That is Samaveda mantra, which is to be recited by the Samavedi priest, it jumps to Yajurveda priest, who is the Advaryam, who is doing the actual oblation. So for all the details of this analysis part, the analysis part of the sutra, it talked about all that, so Purva Mimamsa section was quoted. And Shankaracharya says, the mantra used is Agner Ver Hotram Veradvaram. So this is the mantra, the Samaveda mantra, and it comes out of Yajurveda priest in Aupasada Yagya. So that is the mantra they used to offer the oblation. So recited by the Yajurveda priest when he offered the oblation. Taduktam. See, unless there is a reason, there is a rule, they cannot just interchange. One Veda priest can do this and that. It cannot be just done. There's always vidhi for every one of them. Tad Uktha means this idea has been discussed already. Where? In the Purva Mimamsa Sutra 3.3.8, we just read. In this sutra, Jaimini says, when the origin is a factor and application is another factor, application factor is mukhya factor, important factor, while the utpatti factor, source factor, is only secondary. With this, the 33rd sutra is also over, and we will go to the next adhikaranam in the next class. Yo veda dausvara prokto vedante cha pratishtitaha tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwara. Sri Krishna. Okay.